It's time once again for another episode of Co-Founders Radio. Broadcasting live from the Pro Business Channel studios in Atlanta. And now, here's your host, Rich Casanova.
All right, we are locked and loaded and excited. I don't know how many coffees I've had today, but not enough. You can never have too many coffees unless you're a tea drinker, and we're okay with those people too, yeah. So Rich Casanova on another exciting episode of the Co-Founders Podcast and from our Atlanta studios here on the Pro Business Channel Studio Network with our billion-dollar view. I don't know why we always say that we're on radio, but actually we are now incorporating a lot of live feed on Periscopes and Facebooks and all that good stuff. So thanks for joining us, and if you're listening or listening to any of our episodes, you're welcome to submit a guest request. Just go to co-founderspodcast.com, and where we have conversations with those folks that are making things happen. The reason why we didn't incorporate the word startup, because we're looking for folks that are co-founders. There could be two or three or five of these folks that are starting up a company. We really want to revisit their stages throughout they go, not because at some point, like your college student, you're no longer in college, right? You graduate as a startup, then you can't be on startup radio anymore. So co-founders is about those people just starting today or years down the road, whether it's the founders, co-founders of Home Depot, right? So at one point they were a startup. So, and we are ready to roll. So let's introduce our guest here joining us in our studio, Liv Sagan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, and we met at one of our events recently. And I think it was the Co-Founders Lab.
It was.
Event. All right. Well, appropriately timed on that one, which, by the way, is Co-Founders Lab is a in 45 markets now, and we just brought it to Atlanta as the ambassadors. And a shout out once again to WeWork for hosting that and also sponsoring this show. So, so Liv, let's talk your story. So, give us a little backstory before we jump into business. You're from New Zealand?
not quite, unless rural Bartow County is teleported.
Okay, nice.
I'm originally from Cartersville.
Okay.
I went to school at Southern Polytechnic State University, right, which it forever shall be named. It is not Kennesaw.
Yeah, now it's a big conglomerate, but you were one of the originals.
Yes, I spent 4 years at WGHR, the noise of Southern Poly, which is one of my proudest achievements in life. I am married. I have a teenage dog. She's 17 years old, and we live up in northern Gwinnett County.
Nice.
So by day, I run a marketing agency that I founded 7 years ago. If you ever want to get to know me, I always tell the story of how that was founded, which is pretty simple. I was 18 years old. It was the height of the financial crisis, and I needed to pay rent, and I needed beer money.
Right.
And so I went around
the trifecta.
Exactly. So I went to a whole bunch of small businesses because I was completely convinced, despite the fact that I had only had a Facebook account for 6 months,
right,
that I could get them to pay me to run theirs, which is just a whole bunch of not knowing what I was doing and being way too bold for my own good. And by the end of the week, I walked into a bunch of businesses and convinced them to pay me. And I woke up that Monday morning having drank all my beer money and paid rent to a whole bunch of emails asking, when are we going to set up meetings? When are we going to get this rolling? Right. And I realized, oh crap, I have to do this now.
You had one of those Scooby-Doo rut-row moments.
And there weren't a ton of resources and lots of how-to guides like there are now,
right,
if you're getting started in social media. So I very much learned and experimented and kind of played around, and my clients were very happy because no one knew what good social media looked like back
exactly,
then.
Yeah.
So I could completely screw up and no one would ever know. And I realized that I totally loved it and I was very good at it. And I've been doing it ever since. I've consistently had clients for 7 years now.
Wow.
So I'm in my mid-20s with a going on, or we're going to see 10 years before I hit 30 year old business. And the business we're here to talk about today actually grew out of that. The company I run by day is called The Sister Geek Consulting. You can visit us at thesistergeek.com. But the company...
So are there other sisters involved in that? Or
no, just me. There is an amazing story behind the name, but it will cost you a beer or a month of retainer in order to hear it.
Okay, well, we'll have a beer later. Yeah.
But yeah, so the company we're talking about today grew out of that experience.
And that company is Casmeo?
Casmeo, yes.
And what's the origins of that name?
That name does not have a cool story.
It Well, we'll make up one before the end of the show. Yeah,
I know, right? I wish it.
Send
wish
in
it
your
did.
Suggestions. Yeah.
Yeah, please give me an elaborate backstory to Casmio. Email it to live@thesistergeek.com. The more elaborate, I will give away a free consulting session it is amazing enough.
That's a great idea because people will, from here on, will ask you what's the backstory, right?
Exactly.
So you have someone that contributes and creates this great story mm-hmm. for you. Then you can tell that legitimately and
exactly.
then, but just put the asterisk on there mm-hmm. as told by.
Yeah. Getting contacted me. If you have an amazing story behind, the Casmio name, CASTMIO, I will absolutely give you full credit.
Cause obviously I'm thinking the word cast, like a cast of characters, but also thinking the old Casmio watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We'll leave that to the experts. So now fast forward to today. So this is a new venture, a new startup
for you.
What's the premise of this venture?
So Casmio actually grew out of a need that I've had in my life. I always say it's exactly for people like me, of which there are many. It is a platform for content creators and for people who hire or are looking to hire content creators.
Okay.
I have an awful lot of content that I have created over 7 years of running other people's social media. I've created marketing materials, and a lot of it's very digital. And there are only a couple of options for if a new client's coming on board and say they want to see my portfolio. Well, there's a lot of it. Going back through that, finding the relevant pieces that they might be interested in, pulling those into things that look good, that look like campaigns. It's achieved either through building out my own website or kind of adapting some portfolio websites that don't quite work right for what I'm trying to do, showing off a campaign or something like that. But usually my clients want a giant PDF. It's huge. I cannot stress the size of my body of work put into a PDF format.
Right.
So Casmio is designed to solve that problem.
Okay.
It's designed to take the digital content that I've created, that any other content creator has developed, and lay it out in a fashion that is integrated and organized, which are the two biggest things when we went out and did some market research
right.
That people really wanted. They wanted it to talk to Facebook. They wanted it to talk to Twitter. And they wanted to be able to organize it in the way that we think about our work. So if it's live tweeting an event, say a fair or a
right.
festival, I would like to be able to present all of that content together to be able to explain what it is, what the end goals were, what the metrics were, and tie that and that content together. A lot of people who create this digital content, especially copy-focused
right.
content, we aren't designers. I am not a designer. I married one. I have a creative director. I am a terrible designer. And so whenever it came time to lay all this stuff out, I always had to reach for help. So Casmio was created to both make that content very visible and very accessible, but also to make people looking to hire people who create that content to make it easier for them to find us.
Yeah, because we often say, you know, it used to be cash is king. Now it's content is king.
Mm-hmm.
And content will drive cash flow,
mm-hmm.
right? But having said that, so I've always been a little bit, not baffled, but wondering how someone not in that space or not within the organization can create content about that company.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the process? Or is that just a skill set? Look to them almost as a putting on the reporter hat, if you will, investigative reporting about that entity or that industry? Or are they generating content about the industry, not necessarily about the company?
So I came to content writing in a very different way than I feel like most of the social media folks did. Before I did anything else, I actually started out as a ghostwriter.
Okay.
And my particular superpower was being able to sound so much like an original author that I was able to stitch
right.
pre-existing works together. So if someone wasn't able to finish a novel for any
right.
reason, there were two chapters left out, they would come to somebody like me, and I would be able to create that content or create that particular piece of written work, and no one would be able to tell the difference.
Right.
So I started out creating content by literally becoming whoever it was I was supposed
okay.
to sound like. That's actually morphed into the agency that I run, our specialty being that brand, being that
okay.
voice. So there is a lot of doing a deep dive, reading every single thing that brand has
right.
written. I'm going through that process this morning. For 3 hours, read through every single tweet that one of my new clients had written. There was a lot of scrolling, but at the end of it, I had a really good understanding of what they sound like, what they looked like, and that kind of thing. But Casmia, for me, as someone who hires people who are like me whenever I run out of bandwidth or something like that, is a super useful tool. It actually kind of was born out of a horror story that I had, which is I was subcontracted to live cover an event. And I needed a second pair of hands. All my normal people weren't there. I didn't have a photographer. It was a big event. And I needed to get a hold of somebody. So I reached out to a freelancer who sent me over his portfolio, which was all kind of screen grabbed images. It was stuff that, looking back, it would be hard to guess that it was fake. His resume was completely accurate,
right.
But all of the tweets and all the metrics that he had given me were completely faked.
Wow.
So I took him out to the event.
Right.
And, he showed up and he's sitting there taking really inappropriate selfies with VIP guests and is misspelling tweets and all this other stuff. And I'm thinking back to what
it didn't add up,
it didn't add up at all. And in fact, like, I had to fire him in the middle of the event.
I gave him cash.
I asked him to leave.
Wow.
And I actually recruited one of the interns from the agency I was kind of subcontracting under. And come to find out, I looked back and with a little bit more digging, was able to see that almost none of those metrics and almost none of that content was really posted by him. He had basically photoshopped a whole bunch of stuff. And so one of the features of Casmio that's really important to me as someone who hires folks is having layers of authentication, of having content that is more basically promoted further to the top if you can prove that this is what this piece of content did.
Right.
And that's both, as a content creator, I like to show off.
Right.
If I've got something that went viral, I want to show everybody about it's born out of, of that horror story and of it being hard to find content creators who are specialists. If I want to hire somebody who's really freaking good at covering festivals, how do you Google that?
Right,
it's not something that people put out there.
Right.
But if I can search for that piece of content and I can find in our search engine, a really well done set of festival coverage.
Right.
I can say, okay, I want to learn more about this person, and then go to their profile and see the rest of their work.
So some operative words I'm hearing is, it's one thing content, but the it's almost like the creators. That's what you're really looking for, those people that can actually create original content and have that skill set. But you mentioned something earlier that kind of struck a chord, is this idea of your background as a ghostwriter. That really encapsulates, I think, if you have those abilities, because, we do audio, obviously, in the studio, but we have folks that are doing their books. And sometimes when we talk to people about Audible, about somebody, reading the book, can you anticipate the author would want to read it? But sometimes you need somebody with the different abilities so the listener would have a better experience listening to, maybe not the author is the best person to read their own book on an audiobook, right? So so within an organization, or you mentioned events, bringing in somebody like yourself or somebody that you work with to create that content on their behalf, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes and yes. one of the main things that hiring a content creator does, that a lot of, especially small business owners, and I talk a lot about small business owners just because that's what I work with every single day, that they don't realize is it takes, on average, and I have timed this and I have tested it with my clients, on average for a small business owner, end to end, it's going to take you 30 minutes to post a piece of content across all of your social media.
Oh, yeah.
That's research time, that's figuring out what you're going to say, that's if it's a picture, taking that picture, that is end to end the amount of time sink. If you figure out how much you're earning an hour and split, that half an hour, you can afford a social media manager. There are a lot of us out there, and a lot of us are amazingly reasonable. And being able to reach out to those content creators who do this and live this day in and day out, who are as much of an expert as you are at your business – It takes a lot of stress off of you.
It is crazy because here in the studio, we have conversation with clients as well, is that it's just not the studio time, but it can take upwards of 5 hours of all told for a show, between the scheduling, the booking, the pre-production, the event itself, because we consider this an event, as well as then the post-production, but then on all of the other syndicated platforms, because we have a lot of it automated, but you still have to have some hands-on and some eyeballs looking at it and tweaking it. First of all, if you would give out your contact information for people listening, how would they reach out to you and find you?
Sure. If you want to learn more about Casmeo, you can go to facebook.com/Casmeo and like our page. If you have any questions or need a media contact, you can get a hold of me at The Sister Geek on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSisterGeekConsulting, and LIV at TheSisterGeek.com.
All right, well said. And once again, you're listening to the Co-Founders Podcast, Rich Casanova here with our sponsor, WeWork. So check them out at WeWork.com and ProBusinessChannel.com. We're speaking with Liv Sagan, and let's pick up now. Talk to us about what's next. What do you see big picture or on your short list, short term and long term here?
For Casmeo, it is getting our MVP, minimum viable product, if you're not familiar with the parlance, getting that finished. We are incredibly close, and getting that rolled out, which will be here within the next couple of months.
Okay.
The coolest thing to me about Casmeo is that I actually work with the same team on Casmeo that I do on my other business. So we're able to kind of weave things together and work on them simultaneously. But pretty soon we're opening up to kind of a private alpha. So keep an eye out for that. And if you want any updates, you can go like our Facebook page.
Excellent. And so how do you meet and engage with clients, or how do they find you typically?
I go to an obscene number of networking events.
Okay.
What
are some of your favorites or on your short list?
Anyone that will let me in the door.
All right.
I will show up to a potato related networking event if it's nice. If it's within the Metro Atlanta area.
Right.
I love getting out and getting in front of people. I love talking to people and I love networking with people. How I find clients, both for Casmeo in terms of getting content creators signed up to kind of test it, or my agency business, is just being out, just putting myself out there, just being open to having those conversations, and also finding the people on the edges of the room who may not be looking like they're engaging,
and
walking up to those folks. That's actually usually where I get some of my best conversations.
All right. And, we're going to incorporate a new thing in the show and try to, this is brand new. So, so hold tight. So, we're going to test moving forward, asking each guest as we close out an episode to say, so tomorrow Google, that call comes from Google and they're going to buy you out, right? And but the only stipulation is, starting tomorrow, you once they own your business and walk away, you can't be have your hands in any business for the next year, okay, in any capacity. But they're going to give you, we're talking Google money, right? So they got insane money, right? That you wouldn't have to ever work again. But as an entrepreneur, we're inclined to kind of jump into the next project, right? So where would you go? Where would you move? Where would you take your family?
Okay, I was worried the question would be whether or not I would do it, because that would be a harder question for
me. But this is hypothetical. So we're going to assume you're going to go ahead and take the money, right? Yeah. You're not going to do what was the Groupon?
Yeah.
Right, do you remember their story?
Yes.
So they were everywhere. There was insane what was happening with Groupon. It was like Uber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they got the call from Google, $6 billion offer.
Yeah.
And what'd they say? No, we're good. Thank you. We're good. What's the last time we heard the word Groupon?
Yeah.
Right? So take the money, first of all,
okay,
right?
Okay, take the money.
Because it's going to be an insane amount of money. So hypothetically, so you take the money. But the only stipulation is, again, that you can't be on social media, if you will. You can't be promoting any type of business.
Okay.
New venture, related or not related, right? So you have to take a year sabbatical.
Okay.
Okay? But you've got more money than anybody could spend, right? So where would you go? Why and what would you do? Good question.
Good question. Good question. Easier question than whether or not I would take the money. And I can feel my team yelling at me right now. I would go to, and they're very close in proximity to each other, either Newburyport, Massachusetts or Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Okay.
I spent a summer up there as an intern and completely fell in love with the area.
Now we're in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would occupy your time?
You
couldn't generate any money off.
I could just save the novel I'm being pushed to publish from novel hell, which will definitely not be done in a year.
Knock out a few of those chapters,
Oh man, I would finish that. I would probably read a lot more than I currently do, and sleep a lot more than I currently do. And on day 7, I would lose my mind.
That's the only catch, or whatever.
The only catch.
So you would maybe travel or?
I would probably travel.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So
I'm sorry, I don't have a better answer.
No.
I would have definitely overthought the answer and had an amazing one prepared.
Yeah, that's why we don't want to do that. Yeah. So that's our first entry in What If Google Called. That's our segment. Yeah.
I am glad to be the inaugural entrant.
All right. So, Liv, what else would we need to know at this point before we sign off? Just about networking events. Any of those groups come to mind, or do you have any preferences or for people that want to attend a networking event, maybe they're new here in Atlanta?
I love the resource that is Pro Networkers website.
Okay, yeah.
I love Corey. If you're kind of on the startup side of things versus the kind of traditional network, if it's on Hypopotamus, I'm probably there. But if you ever see me, if you ever have a marketing question or anything, I am the lady with the giant frizzy brown Hermione hair at an event. I'm very easy to find, and I'm always there. So, my advice for anyone for networking events, don't go to the ones that sound like you. So I never find anyone that I truly am learning things from at, you know, small business owners under 29 something like. I go to the ones that are in like Hall County for truck drivers, and they're amazing.
That's a good takeaway. Yeah, it's a good observation. Yeah. Because, for example, they have the group called Networking Under 40 and Networking Over 40. And
if I could sneak into Networking Over 40, I would do
it. Well, actually, they generally allow that. They don't allow the reverse. But yeah, so...
You've changed my world.
I think that's happening tomorrow as well. So we'll talk after the show.
Yeah.
So one more time, how would folks reach out to you? What's the best point of contact?
You can find me at thesistergeek.com. If you want to learn more about Casmeo, you can go to facebook.com/Casmeo. And if you want to get a hold of me directly, you can email liv@thesistergeek.com or approach the frizzy-haired lady at any networking event.
All right. Thanks, frizzy-haired lady, a.k.a.
You're welcome.
Liv. See you next time.
Thank you for joining Rich Casanova and his guests on the Pro Business Channel. Use the social media links here to share today's show and stay tuned for the next episode of Co-Founders Radio.